verses 57 through 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." But he said to them, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." But Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God."
Thank you. to look again this morning at the cross leading up to Easter. I just love to think of the cross and the meaning that it has for me. And I trust for you, this wonderful song that was shared just before the message at the cross says it so beautifully. There where Christ's blood was shed for us shows how he loves us, how great, how deeply he loves us, that he would do that for us. But there is also a cross, I think it could be called a believer's cross, because Jesus said that we are to take up our cross and follow him. We looked at that verse in the earlier part of this same chapter. If you want to look at it again, it's Luke 9:23, one of the great verses in the Bible, a great invitation to take up our cross and follow him. So we're going to look this morning again at the way of the cross. Jesus calls his disciples to walk with him in that way of the cross. Now, what can disqualify us from walking that way of the cross? Now, I'm not speaking here to unbelievers. There may be someone who's never accepted Christ as Savior, but I think all of you, I trust, have invited Christ into your life. If not, certainly that's the beginning point of this walking with Jesus, knowing his presence with you. So he invites you to walk that way of the cross. Whether you are a born-again believer in Jesus or you are a seeker after the truth that there is in Jesus, he invites you to walk that way of the cross. I think it really is what defines being a disciple of Jesus. Coming to him and kneeling before his cross and also taking up our cross to follow him. Well, the scripture passage was read, but I just wanted to put it up there on the screen again. This was the first, now it says man there, and I think obviously it was a man, but I really think that the application is to all of us. The Word of God isn't speaking here just to the deficiency of men, and the Lord knows we have many of them, right? I sometimes say the weaker sex, because I really think men sometimes are. I think my wife would agree with that. At least the one man she knows best. But I think this certainly applies to all of us. I think you would all agree. He came to a man who said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, I think he may have heard Jesus speaking and calling people to follow him. And so Jesus gave him this rather harsh reply. I think we would all interpret it that way. He said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So I want us to just focus, first of all, on this first response. I want to share with you what I think is probably the tendencies that we all have to not take up our crosses and follow Jesus. So I'm not suggesting that all of these were people who Jesus met along the way and maybe they were not challenged to think about what Jesus said to them, and later did take up their crosses to follow Jesus. I think that's entirely possible. And I really see myself in these whom Jesus met along the way that were challenged to take up their cross and follow him. So what do we know of this first person here? I want to suggest that he's delicate. The delicate follower. And by delicate, I mean maybe he was afraid that he couldn't stand the strain of being a disciple, stand the stress of being a disciple. I mean, don't we all have stress? I think we all do. I think you would all agree. There are different kinds of stresses and pressures. I mean, can we get away from that? I don't think so. I don't think we can escape the world. We can't live in a monastery. I don't think we're supposed to. Although that sounds appealing to us sometimes. Just to get away from it all. And there are times that indeed we do need our rest. We need to get away from it all. But here is the person that I would describe as delicate. And I want us to see, first of all, his profession. He says, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, a very noble profession. I think we would all agree. But words can be very cheap. And I think Jesus looked into his heart. He must have known that he was not as strong as his profession would lead us to think he was. Now, do we sometimes do that? I think sometimes we do. In the songs that we sing, the professions that we make just by calling ourselves a Christian, and calling yourself a Christian, incidentally, doesn't make you one. You become a Christian by being born again. We know that. We remember Jesus saying to Nicodemus, perhaps one of the most religious persons of his day, "You must be born again." So the profession is very important, but it's not really enough, is it? I think we would all agree with that, that words can be cheap. Sometimes we say things that we don't really mean. So I think that that must have been true with this man, that Jesus looked into his heart and he said what he did about, you know, the foxes having holes. Now, did Jesus create the foxes? Yes, if we believe what the scripture says, he is the creator. But he said the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So there's a pretension, what I would call a pretension. I don't know that it was deliberate, but Jesus was saying here in what he replied to this man that being a Christian, being a disciple is not easy. It's not for the weak-willed and timid of heart. Now, are we sometimes weak-willed and timid of heart? Is there anyone who is not? I don't think too many of us are just born with the heart of a lion. Never struggle with being sometimes timid, fearful. And it reminds me of what Paul said to young Timothy, who I think was prone to be timid, and perhaps like this man. He said, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And I think that's a great verse for all of us, to endure hardness. That's what Jesus is saying here. Being a disciple is not easy. There's going to come that test where your profession is going to be tested. And it's what Jesus meant earlier in the chapter when he said, we must take up our crosses daily and follow him. I like especially the fact that this gospel includes that daily, because I need that daily. I need to make that decision daily. Now, I'm not talking about a decision for salvation. We settle that once for all when we receive Jesus Christ into our life. But I'm talking about that decision as a Christian. Am I going to follow Jesus in that way of the cross today? Now, there was a problem in that delicate follower. And that problem was that many sincere and enthusiastic seekers are too delicate for the Lord's work. Well, I don't think that he necessarily was, but I think that we're all come into the world that way. As babies, Jesus spoke of how we need to battle that in our lives, that comfort loving, you know, wanting everything to come to us. I started to say we're all kind of grown-up babies sometimes, aren't we? I know we might deny it, but yes, I think we are. And so Jesus is challenging us. I think he was challenging not only this man, but those of us who are listening in to this conversation today, to not be so delicate that we do not take up our crosses to follow Jesus. Now, that's the delicate. I know there's probably better terms for this, but I hope you'll at least humor me in this and think about it. Distracted is the second follower that I would say. Distracted. Now, certainly I can find myself in this man's shoes, as it were. He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." So I want us to think about this second would-be disciple. Now, I'm not sure that he wasn't a Christian. Jesus said the same thing to him. Did you notice that he said to his 12 disciples, "Follow me"? He had a privilege that the other two did not have. And I want us to think about that privilege, first of all. The other delicate disciple decided apparently on his own. But this one received an invitation, an opportunity to follow the master teacher. Now, maybe if there is one here that's not a Christian, perhaps this one. Because Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And he said, "Lord, let me go and bury my father." What's wrong with that, we would say. But I think what he is saying is, I know I should be a committed Christian, and I intend to be someday, But I have this urgent need in my life to do this first. Now, it sounds reasonable. And the devil will give you 100 reasonable reasons why you should not be a disciple of Jesus today. And I think we all need to realize that. That we don't have to go looking for a reason. A convenient reason will fall into our lap. Because the devil does not want us to be blessed. He doesn't want us, our lives, to be a blessing to others through our Christian testimony, our witness. And so he will give us excuses. There's a privilege here. There's also a pretext. He said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." And it seems harsh and heartless, doesn't it, for the Lord to have responded as he did? I mean, it sounds very harsh. But some have supposed, and we have to read between the lines, I think, in any case, to understand what maybe is happening in this man's life. It's like the first disciple who said, "I will follow you wherever you go." Well, wouldn't we all be glad to have someone say that? I want to be a Christian. I want to be dedicated to the Lord, and I want to consecrate my entire life to him. Sometimes we get maybe too exuberant about these professions sometimes that we make. But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead." He was probably, this man was probably asking leave to care of an aged parent, like someone today saying, "I just can't serve the Lord today because of this responsibility that I have." Now, have we ever said that? I think most of us would say yes. I'd have to admit, I've found convenient excuses that are very reasonable sounding, not only to me, but others. Others told me, "Oh, yeah, you know, that's more important." But if Jesus calls you today to follow him, and I think he does, all each one of us, then should not we give our obedience to him? Should not we take up our crosses and follow him? There's a priority in this distracted disciple, that in the words that Jesus spoke to him. If the Lord calls you now, he understands all of that all of those excuses that we might give. And we could just, begin to number them. What, you know, are the common excuses that people give, that I give, that you give? But I think for all of us, there'll be that convenient excuse if we let that stand in the way of following Jesus. If Christ calls you to serve him, give your priority to that. He will see that your other responsibilities are taken care of. Now, he wasn't saying that you should neglect your parents, your elderly parents. Certainly the Bible does not teach that. It teaches just the contrary to that. So I know that our Savior didn't mean neglect your family, neglect your parents. Become a Christian workaholic and just let your family go to hell. Now, I don't think he's saying that at all. No, he's really saying, if you will follow me, then those things will get taken care of. I'll make sure. And not only that, but you'll be a better son or daughter, a better parent, a better friend. So here is the distracted follower. Now, many today find themselves reflected, I think, well, I think we all do, in this distracted wannabe disciple. We have, here in Hawaii, I think there are bees, but we have wood bees over there. And I like to think of them as W-O-U-L-D bees. They're would-be bees. They're not real bees. And I think there are a lot of Christians like that, kind of would-be Christians, wannabe Christians, if you will. So Jesus is calling us here to a level of discipleship that I think most of us know little about on a daily basis, taking up our cross and following him. The Bible is a great commentary on itself. And here in this same chapter where Jesus spoke that word, take up your cross daily and follow me, it tells us about these three who Jesus called to follow him and the excuses that were given. But there's a third disciple here that I would call, we're going to read the passage and then we'll look at what I would call this disciple. It's this one who said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first go back and say goodbye to my family." Now, it seems on the surface very similar to the one before. But Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service, for service in the kingdom of God. So I think our Savior's reply here gives us some clues to what was really going on in this would-be disciple's life. This one who was challenged to take up his cross and follow Jesus. And I would call him a deserting disciple or follower because of what the Lord says here about looking back. No one who looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Now, I was in the Navy. And I know there's no sin in our military service greater than that of deserting. I suppose maybe being a traitor, but really deserting is just as bad. Well, in the Christian sphere, in the calling to take up our crosses and to follow Jesus, I think he's speaking here of that tendency that we have to wander. The hymn writer wrote, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." And I think that's true of my own heart. I know it's true of my own heart. I'm prone to wander. I'm prone to desert. I can see myself really in all of these ones who gave excuses here. But perhaps this one here, maybe like Mark, if you're familiar with it, not this Mark here, that Mark, but the Mark in the Bible. A young man, I think maybe a little like Timothy. It would seem we'd say wet behind the ears or not really as mature as he later became. Left Paul and Barnabas on one of their missionary journeys. It's kind of a mysterious, we don't know all the reasons. But I think of how this is so true to our human nature. Some more than others, of course. There are some that just seem to be born with their face set toward a direction of life that never changes. There are very few like that, I think. I think more are we like this man. "I will follow you," he said, "but let me first go back and say goodbye to those in my family." Again, this is not necessarily unreasonable. I don't know that it's wrong. But in this man's case, perhaps like the rich young ruler who said, "Lord, I will follow you." And Jesus said, "Well, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. And then come and follow me." I think maybe it was the thing here in this man's life that was holding him back. His family, ostensibly. I don't know that it was so much his family as he just maybe didn't want to go in his heart. Maybe he was fearful. But again, the Lord's reply here, I think, helps us to understand what's going on here. There was a profession, "Lord, I will follow you," but really what he meant is someday, not today. It's like someone today saying, "I know I should be a committed Christian, and I intend to be someday, but not today. I have too many things to take care of. I'm just not ready yet for this kind of service, this kind of answering this kind of call. Take up my cross and follow Jesus." Sadly, these people that we read about, such as these three here, fade off into the background. We really don't know what happened to them. We don't even know that they were saved. They were only called to follow Jesus. Certainly they gave a profession of faith, but they were not willing, apparently, to take up their crosses to follow Jesus. So I want to learn from that. I trust you do. The profession, the procrastination, secondly here, "let me first." The verb translated "I will follow" is in the future tense. It's like someone today saying, "I'm going to be a dedicated Christian someday, but not right now." The Savior's reply seems harsh and heartless, but I believe Jesus knew that this man, if he went home, his loved ones would talk him out of being a disciple of Jesus. Did not Jesus say sometimes our enemies are those in our own family? And I don't think Jesus was suggesting by that we are to hate our family, that we are to view them as our enemies. But rather, that sentimentality sometimes that keeps us from being a disciple of Jesus, from taking up our cross to follow him. So the procrastination there, and then the perspective, looking back. Didn't Jesus say, "Who looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Well, this wasn't the only man who was looking back. Lot's wife comes to mind. I always pick on Lot's wife because, you know, she became a pillar of salt. So I think God intended that she be an object lesson for us today, of one who looked back. And therefore, God just made them a fixture in this world. They loved it so much. Well, I just want to encourage us to listen to Jesus' voice pleading with us. Follow me. Take up your cross daily and follow me. To avoid these tendencies that we may all have to be this, like this delicate, what I call a delicate disciple, or distracted follower, or deserting follower. And that we would take up our crosses daily and follow Jesus. Thank you.